We're going to read from verse 21, Acts chapter 27 and verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded, and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern, and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under colour, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day, that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 260 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. Amen. May God bless to us this reading. That little reference there in verse 37 tells us that there were 276 people on board this ship. This was no small ship. This was a major incident. Can you imagine what it would be like if there was a ship with that number of people running adrift in the sea today? It would be a major incident. And so it was then too, certainly, for those with no means of contacting the land and simply driven before the wind wherever it would take them. You know, there are so many stories and incidents in these verses that I felt that we could not pass them over too quickly. Last week we left the ship and the crew and the travellers without hope in the midst of this great storm. That is not to say that Paul had no hope. He still had this promise that Christ had given him. But he must have wondered how it was to be, and especially when all around him were concerned. Luke could say, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And Paul may well have feared for the lives of those 276 people on board ship with him. He believed that he would go to Rome and speak before Caesar, but what would happen if he alone was preserved and his friends taken at the destruction of this ship? And it seems as if Paul prayed for everyone on board, because when God's angel messenger came to him, he suggests that all of the people, all 276 souls, had been given to Paul, or the 275 with Paul with them, had been given to Paul as he requested. And that's a very interesting point that we should know. They had been committed, or they had been given into his hands. So Paul's intercession for those who were with him in danger had been heard by God, and God had given the lives of those 275 men, some who were his captors, few who desired any good for Paul and his traveling companions, but Paul prayed for them all. And I have no doubt that many unbelievers have been blessed because the Lord preserves his own dear children, and the unbelievers have been blessed together with them. And that is worth our remembering. There are judgments which do not fall upon us and those around about us because of God's safeguarding and safekeeping of his people. And that surely is an encouragement for us to pray for others also. When Paul rose to speak to everyone, he spoke words of hope. And that in itself is a blessed thing to realize. It is a blessed privilege for all gospel preachers to be able to bring words of hope to a needy generation. And what Paul had to say was simply this: salvation is in Christ. Because he was able to tell these people, men and women, perhaps youngsters as well, he was able to tell them prophetically that there would be a full deliverance of all that were on board. Paul says, God, whose I am and whom I serve, he testifies to belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not merely because God had created him, not merely because Christ had created Paul as he created all things, but by election, Paul belonged to God. By redemption, Paul belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. And by conversion, Paul belonged to Christ. And so we see that belonging to the Lord is a process by which we have revealed to us our interest in the Lord Jesus Christ, our interest in covenant purpose through election and redemption when the Lord Jesus Christ died for his people, and the conversion which is brought to us by God the Holy Spirit. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is the God whose I am and whom I serve. And Paul also speaks about faith. And he is able to say, I believe God, that it shall be even as God has told me. Even as it was told me, so shall it be. Paul believed what the Lord had said to him. He believed the promises. He was trusting, not in the ship, not in the abilities of the sailors, not in the protection of the centurion or the guards. He trusted in God. And why wouldn't he? Because God is all powerful. Natural men and natural women, we are sinners, we are rebels against God, we are opposed to God, and we deny God and we reject God. Perhaps some of these people would say on the ship with Paul that night, I've seen storms like this. We're not going to make it. And perhaps the soldiers were saying, we're not going to risk losing any of these prisoners. We're going to have to kill them. And even believers sometimes have little faith and find it difficult to trust in the Lord. And that is why the Lord has to take us through these stormy experiences, take us through these difficult circumstances, that he might exercise our faith. And there's a picture here of Paul in this ship with all of these people, of the life with the storms that we face and the uncertainty that we encounter and the choices that we have to make as to whether we are going to trust the Lord or not. Will we trust him? Will you trust him? Will I trust him? Paul could say, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And we can have confidence that what God has said is true. And when we hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we hear of Christ coming into this world to save sinners, when we see that message in the gospel of Christ going to the cross to save his people from their sins, we can believe that his people are saved, are safe. In verses 31 and 32, last week, we read about the centurion not believing Paul's warning about leaving Crete. I think that was in verse 11. But here in 31 and 32, we now discover that the centurion has changed his views. He didn't believe Paul's word before, but now he believes. Now he follows Paul's direction and he prevents the crew from escaping. And that's an interesting point as well, because this reminds us that the Lord God, in his providence, establishes the means as well as the end. What God has promised will come true. But every step along the way to the accomplishment of that end is also in our God's providential care and control. It shall be as God promises, and all the steps to accomplish God's word are also prepared and fixed. This reminds us of our sovereign God that we worship. I just want to show you very quickly the map that we looked at last week. And here you'll see on this map how right in the center there is the island of Crete. And there the arrow points at Five and Fair Havens. That's where Paul told the people that they should stay. They decided no, they wanted to try and make their way along the coast a little bit to Phoenix because there was a better place to stay there at Phoenix. Fairhaven wasn't good in rough times and they wanted to get to Phoenix if they could. But once they started out, they were blown south of that island Clauda and right into the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. And up at the top left-hand corner there, you can see that there's a reference to the Adriatic Sea. Well, that's what we call the Adriatic now. But it used to be that the name Adriatic stretched right down there, past that little boot of Italy that you can see on the map. And that area in there, that big area above the number 6, is where Paul and the ship was blown about for 14 days. And then we're told that they came to Malta. So that was the island that they came to. And you'll be able, if you think about the narrative that we've read there, to see something of the way in which the people were anxious and frightened about being shipwrecked on that island. And the reference there to taking the depths and working on the fathoms or the depth of the water. The Mediterranean Sea is a very deep sea, but these people knew when they took these measurements at 20 fathoms, that would be about 120 feet, and then 15 fathoms coming into it, about 90 feet. They knew that the ship that they were in was getting much closer and closer to land, and they committed their well-being into the hands of Paul's God. And it is just lovely to see how the apostle was able to witness for the Lord in the midst of this crisis. And next week we're going to see what happens and how that indeed, though the ship is shipwrecked on the island of Malta, the Lord God's word is true, and all of the passengers and crew of the ship are preserved. So thank you for your attendance once again, and for listening to these few remarks.